ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 19 entitled The Island of Jambudvipa, text number 16. It is in a prose form. Bharati pyasmin varshe sarichailaha santi bahavo malayo mangala prastho mainaka strikuta rushabha kutakaha kollakaha सहयो देवगिरी ऋष्यमूकः श्रीशैलो वेंकटो महेंद्रो वारिधारो विनद्यः शुक्तिमानुक्षगिरी पारियात्रो द्रोणस्त्रिकूटो गोवर्धनो रैवतकः ककुभो नीलो गोकामुख इंद्रकीलः कामगिरिरिति चान्ये च शतसहस्रशः शैलास्तेषां नितंब प्रभवा नदा नद्यश्च संत्य असंख्याताः। Translation: In the tract of land known as Bharatavarsha, as in Ilavratavarsha, there are many mountains and rivers. Some of the mountains are known as Malaya, Mangalaprastha, Mainaka, Trikuta, Rushabha, Kutaka, Kollaka, Sahya, Devagiri, Rishyamuka, Sri Shaila, Venkata, Mahendra, Varidhara, Vindya, Shuktiman, Rukshagiri, Pariyatra, Drona, Chitrakuta, Govardhana, Raivataka, Kakubha, Neela, Gokamukha, Indrakila, and Kamagiri. Besides these, there are many other hills with many large and small rivers flowing from their slopes. There is no purport to this, text 17 and 18. Two of the rivers, the Brahmaputra and the Shona, are called Nadas or main rivers. These are other great rivers that are very prominent. Chandravasa, Tamraparini, Avatoda, Kritamala, Vaihayasi, Kaveri, Veni, Payaswini, Sharkara, Varta, Tungabhadra, Krishnavenya, Bhimarathi, Godavari, Nirvindya, Payoshni, Tapi, Reva, Surasa, Narmada, Charmanvati, Mahanadi, Vedasmriti, Rishikulya, Trishama, Kaushiki, Mandakini, Yamuna, Saraswati, Drishadvati, Gomati, Sarayu, Radhaswati, Saptavati, Sushoma, Shatadru, Chandrabhaga, Marudvrdha, Vitasa, Asikni, and Vishwa. The inhabitants of Bharatvarsha are purified because they always remember these rivers. Sometimes they chant the names of these rivers as mantras, and sometimes they go directly to the rivers to touch them and bathe in them. Thus the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha become purified. Purport: All these rivers are transcendental. Therefore, one can be purified by remembering them, touching them, or bathing in them. This practice is still going on. text 19. The people who take birth in this tract of land are divided according to the qualities of material nature. The modes of goodness, sattva-guna, passion, rajoguna, and ignorance, tamoguna. Some of them are born as exalted personalities. Some are ordinary human beings, and some are extremely abominable. For in Bharatvarsha, one takes birth exactly according to one's past karma. If one's position is ascertained by a bona fide spiritual master, and one is properly trained to engage in the service of the Lord, Vishnu, according to four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the four spiritual divisions, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, one's life becomes perfect. Purport. For further information, one should refer to Bhagavad Gita 14.18 and 18.42-45. Srila Ramanuja Charya writes in his book Vedanta Sangraha, quoting from the Vishnu Purana 389, the great sages Parashar Muni has recommended, Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Parah Puman Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha Nanyat Tattosha Karanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Lord. In the land of Bharatvarsha, the institution of Varnashram Dharma may be easily adopted. At the present moment, certain demoniac sections of the population of Bharatvarsha are disregarding the system of Varnashram Dharma. Because there is no institution to teach people how to become Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, or Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, these demons want a classless society. This is resulting in chaotic conditions. In the name of secular government, unqualified people are taking the supreme governmental posts. No one is being trained to act according to the principles of Varnashram Dharma, and thus people are becoming increasingly degraded and are heading in the direction of animal life. The real aim of life is liberation, but unfortunately, the opportunity for liberation is being denied to people in general, and therefore their human lives are being spoilt. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is being propagated all over the world to establish the Varnashram Dharma system and thus save human society from gliding down to hellish life. The people who take birth in this tract of land are divided according to the qualities of material nature, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Some of them are born as exalted personalities, some are ordinary human beings, and some are extremely abominable. For in Bharatvarsha, one takes birth exactly according to one's past karma. If one's position is ascertained by a bona fide spiritual master, and one is properly trained to engage in the service of the Lord, Vishnu, according to the four social divisions and the four spiritual divisions, one's life becomes perfect. So in these verses, the glory, true glory of Bharatvarsha, or this great land of India, is described. And it is also said, what is its actual glory and how to utilize the facility. Simply knowing that the place where they have taken birth is glorious is not enough. Until and unless we utilize whatever the opportunity or the facility that's been given to fully achieve the fulfillment of life. Bharat bhumi te hoila manushya janma jar, janma sarthaka kari karo paropakar. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, Bharat bhumi te manushya janma hoila jar. Anyone in this land of holy land of India has taken birth, especially in the human form. Janma sarthaka kari, sa arthaka. Arthaka means of value. So, utilize it fully and then karo paropakar, distribute. But until and unless, Hare Krishna, until and unless we actually know what is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, of Bharatavarsha, then one cannot, it will be simply lip service to say that we are born in a great country. So, one facility is there are very wonderful mountains, wonderful rivers. But then, even to utilize that, even to know its transcendental nature and to get the best out of it, one has to know its value. I heard once the story of a man who had, every morning he would just get up in the morning, go to the forest, dig some earth and just look like that and then close it and then come back. Every morning he would do that. A poor man. And one day a saintly man happened to see that. Every morning this guy goes, digs up some earth, looks down and covers it and then come back. What does he do actually? And later he went and next day this poor man went and dug. He was shocked. Nothing was there. He used to look at something which is not there. And then he was wondering. And then a man walked in, a saintly person walked in and said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "No, I had kept a gold brick inside. I found it somewhere. So every day I would just open it and look at it and then close it. And I used to feel very nice." And this person said, "What is the use of looking at it?" He kept actually ordinary brick. Yeah. He took out that gold brick and kept an ordinary brick. So he said, "What does it make a difference to you, whether it is gold brick or ordinary brick? You used to simply look at it and then put back the dirt and go away. You are not utilizing it. So, whether I keep a ordinary brick or a gold brick, it's the same to you." And in this way, the saintly person taught this person that simply having something is not enough until we actually fully utilize its whatever it can give. So like that, gold mine in the backyard, do we have wonderful the facility of this Bharatavarsha, but what is its actual glory? The actual glory is the scientific division of Varnashram Dharma. Krishna says in the Gita, "Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashaha Tasya Kartaram Apimam Vidya Kartaram Abhyayam." Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam. Krishna himself, the creator himself, has created this particular facility. Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. There are only three modes of material nature. There is no fourth. And therefore, everyone, invariably, has to be under the three modes. Tribhir gunamayair bhavair ebhi sarvam idam jagat. There is no place from the Brahmaloka down to the Patala where the three modes of nature don't have an influence. In fact, there is nothing other than these three modes of nature in that sense. So, guna karma vibhagasha and karma, everyone must have to perform activities according to their modes that they are in. It's inevitable, whether they like it or not. Sharira yatra pichate na prasiddhyed akarmanha. Krishna says in the Gita, even maintenance of the body cannot be done without activity. So, and the third part is, Arjuna asks Krishna, atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichhannapi varshniya baladivan yojitah. By what am I forced to act in such a way even against my own nature? And Krishna says, kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samudbhava. So, everyone is forced to act in this material world. It's been designed in such a way that you have to act. But the problem is, the more we act, the more we get entangled. This is a contradiction. Or rather, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you don't act, you'll die. But if you act, you'll get entangled. You have to perform activities. But the intelligent part, the most important part is, how to act in such a way that you don't get entangled. That is the secret that is taught in the Vedic scriptures. How to be in the world but not become of the world. Padma Patram Ivambhasa. Like a lotus leaf in the water, very much in the water, but untouched by it. This is the secret of work, the art of living that is taught. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiyah lipyatena sa papena. Inevitably, we are forced to papena in sinful activities. Our whole suffering is due to breaking the laws of nature, going against the laws of nature. And breaking the laws is due to ignorance of how to act. And that is explained very scientifically in the Varnashram system. How to act? Gradually. It is the platform of becoming a human being. A refined human being. Civilized human being. Civilization means regulation. You regulate according to what is the ultimate purpose. So, this is the advantage in the land of Bharatvarsha, that you have a scientific division of society. I mean, it is so simple to understand if we just observe our own body. Self-realization and God-realization goes hand in hand. You see the self, if you understand the self from gross to subtle, you can also see the external things. So, if you see the body, there has to be this division. There has to be the head, which gives direction for the hand, the belly, and the hand, how to act for the benefit of the body. The belly, what to consume for the benefit of the body, overall benefit of the body. And the legs, where to move or how to work for the overall benefit of the body. That's it. And similarly, there's a hand. The first thing, it's very interesting. The first thing that the hand goes, you want to protect yourself, is the head. The head directs the hand, of course. But the hand knows. So the first thing you have to protect yourself is the head. Because once, if the head is all right, then everything will be all right. everything can be brought to normalcy. So there is a hand for protection, the belly for sustenance, and the leg for carrying the other three to perform their various activities. What's the use of a huge body without a leg? Can't do anything. He may have wonderful ideas, but it can't be executed. So similarly, a social body also have to have the head department, the intelligent class. Patan Patan, Yajan Yajan, Dana Pratigraha, who are engaged in understanding, scrutinizingly studying the scriptures and understanding what is actually, what should be the direction in which the society should move, the whole social body should move. Patan and Patan should direct the whole society. And Yajan, Yajan means to perform purificatory rites or worship of the deity also. Elsewhere it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions deity worship. Or make, that means worshipping in the temple. This is the duty of a Brahmana. And teaching people at large how to make their homes and how to make their hearts into a temple of the Lord. Because ultimately, Vishnur aradhyate pantha nanyat tattosha karanam. The whole purpose of Varnashram is how to make Vishnu, satisfy Vishnu, samsiddhir haritoshanam. If the Lord is not pleased, shramayeva hi kevalam. It is simply a waste of labor. So to give meaning and purpose to our activities, that direction is given from the head. Patan, patan, yajan, yajan. And because they are completely engaged in this activity, they are dependent on dhana, charity. But then, pratigraha. Pratigraha means just essential, bare essential, what you need to sustain. Rest you should distribute. If you see actually, the way Prabhupada established these temples, truly this should be the activity of the temple. Patan, where devotees are scrutinizingly studying the scriptures, and Patan, and teaching the society at large how to transform their homes and hearts into a temple so that everything becomes sacred. In temple, everything is considered sacred. The moment everything is connected with the supremely sacred Lord, Paramam Pavitram, then everything becomes sacred. And Yajan Yajan, performing the chanting of the holy name and teaching people how to perform the greatest sacrifice, yajna, sankirtana yajna, the mode of how to make everything holy, yajan yajan, and dana. Naturally, people will be inspired to contribute, they will be providing, and then pratigraha, the same thing should be distributed. Sunday love feast. People come and get complete fulfillment for their body, wonderful prasad, for their mind, wonderful bhajan, kirtan, and for their soul, and for their intelligence, nice philosophy, and for their soul, true satisfaction, wholesome diet. So dana pratigraha. If that is performed, this was expected. Prabhupada did expect. One time somebody asked, I said, will the whole world become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, no. He said, even if a few, 10%, something to that effect, I don't know exact percentage. He said, if they become Krishna conscious, the whole world will be saved. That's like the there should be at least an ideal society where people can see and get inspiration from. Or even they shouldn't feel that they are out of place in society. Sometimes there are sincere seekers
who feel that something is wrong with them, their way of thinking. This is the nature of the world. And I, like a different person, but when they see a society which gives a facility to make them realize that, no, that's the right way of thinking. In fact, the whole world is thinking in a wrong way. And can give that encouragement and how to train them up to achieve the perfection. That is greatness. So, that is one aspect. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Raya, he said, give me the ultimate goal of life. Speak about the ultimate goal. That first statement that Ramananda Raya made is Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena, Varnashram system. And Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bahya, Age Koho Ar. So on one hand we see that this is Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha Nanya Tattosha Karanam, but on another side Mahaprabhu rejects this as external. Now how do we understand? One thing is, in this day and age, this Varnashram system is so difficult to follow because everything has gone so haywire. It is so mixed up. It's almost like a khichdi. Everything is so mixed up. It's very difficult to re-establish that system. However, if the essence is established, then other things will automatically follow. Because ultimately, what is the purpose of Varnashram? Varnashram is a springboard to actually achieve, to transcend and be situated on the transcendental platform. The essence of Varnashram is how people can be satisfied and happy and progress towards the ultimate perfection of life. This, in essence, is the Varnashram system. How people feel respected, satisfied, happy, and they have enough time to focus and achieve the ultimate perfection of life. And that is a scientific system. We have a body. All of us have a body you have to deal with. And body needs protection, body needs maintenance, sustenance. We have a mind. It has its own psychophysical nature. So, we need engagement according to our propensity, where we feel satisfied. And we have a big ego. It needs appreciation and it needs respect. So if in a society, everyone feels sustained, you know, no anxiety over one's own maintenance or sustenance, everyone feels protected, and if everyone is engaged happily according to their, whatever way they can contribute to the society, and if people are respected and appreciated for their contribution to the society, then everyone is blissful and happy. And if that is the situation, then they can easily advance towards spiritual activity if there is clear direction as to how to direct that. Ultimately, that is the Varnashram system, where everyone, recently when we went to Srirangam and all these places, it's amazing, such beautiful carvings of the temple. Such beautiful carvings. It must have taken years. Practically, some of the temples took lifetimes. Now, today there are many, many wonderful sculptors and all that. They are there. It's not that it is lacking. But they have to fend for themselves. And therefore, they need quick money. And to get quick money, they just do whatever is whatever gets them quick money. And therefore, the art part is compromised. Even this person who did this temple, he's old man, almost retired now. But his son is no more doing all these things. He knows. But he says, there's no time for me to spend, you know, because nobody wants this thing. In Bombay, people want, you know, all in one. In one room, they need just plywood, something that is movable, something that is, you know, 3-in-1, 4-in-1, everything, because there's so small space. He says, I would love to do these kind of things. But who will pay for me and how will I be maintained? Earlier, the kings were responsible, Naradeva. Their responsibility was to see that everyone is protected, maintained, sustained. Everyone is properly engaged according to their propensities. And everyone is respected and appreciated for their contribution to the society. And then there is proper direction. Everyone is focused on the ultimate goal of life. Prabhupada writes in the fourth chapter, second verse of the Bhagavad Gita, where it says, Imam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduh. Rajarshis. And it says, what was the duty of the rajarshi? He says, the duty of the leaders was to see that this knowledge, rajavidya, was given by education, culture and devotion. That was the duty of a leader, of the king, to see that every living entity under him is given this Krishna consciousness through education, culture and devotion. Everyone should be educated into what is the ultimate goal of life. That's the first thing. But everyone may know, but if it's not a favorable culture, if we are not in a very favorable environment, a large population, common people, cannot take it up. Very advanced soul can live in any situation and become Krishna conscious and not be disturbed by the external influences. But common people like all of us may not. We need a favorable, suitable culture where naturally one can become Krishna conscious. But the whole activity should be designed in such a way. That's the duty of a leader, and that should be the expertise. Or he should get experts to give that thing. That was the king's duty. He would have surrounded by ministers. It is described in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ambarish Maharaj, 24 hours a day, his eyes would be engaged. You know, the example is Navada Bhakti is given. 24 hours, eyes in seeing the Lord, hands in worshipping, cleaning the temple of the Lord, legs to walk to the holy places. Immediately in the next verse it says, so somebody may ask, if Ambarish Maharaj was 24 hours engaging all his activities of the senses, including the mind, simply in worshipping the Lord, how was he maintaining how was he executing the responsibilities of a king? Immediately it says, Shashasaha, how he was ruling, he was always trained, he was always guided by exalted Vaishnava ministers. They were guided. They were guiding him. And what was his activity? It is described everywhere, especially where the rivers are not flowing or rain is not happening, he would perform yajna. In fact, in his kingdom, one after another place after another, there was constant yajna going on. There was never a time that yajna was not happening. Everywhere yajna was going on and everyone was sumptuously fed, everyone was sumptuously remunerated. And in fact, it is said, the devatas would come and sit in his kingdom, in his yajna. And the devatas were highly well dressed. And all his ministers and other citizens would also be sitting amidst the devatas. And you couldn't find out who is a devata and who is the minister of Ambarish Maharaj. Why? Because the only difference is, it seems, Radha Govind Maharaj was telling in his lecture, the devatas don't blink their eyes. Animesha. Animesha means blinking of the eyes. The devatas don't blink their eyes. But Maharaj Ambarish Yajnas were so opulent, so wonderful, that the ministers didn't want to miss out a part, and therefore they would also not blink their eyes. So you actually couldn't find out who is the devata and who is the minister. And they were so well dressed, so opulent, that everyone was literally like a devata. And even though they associated with devatas, nobody wanted to become a devata. Generally, if you associate with some high class, you also, you know, feel that I wish I could also have something like that. I could also move around like that. Nobody had, because the yajna was so potent that by performing, everyone's heart was pure and everyone was as much as Ambarish Maharaj inspired to achieve the perfection of life. Everyone knew what is the ultimate perfection. I mean, just to make us realize that these things are not something imaginary, something utopian, not at all practical, not at all possible. To the extent these principles can be applied. And that was Prabhupada's contribution. He established first the essence. He put the foundation. Now you construct the building. Simply constructing a building of external rituals of Varnashram will collapse if Vishnu is not in the center. So Prabhupada's contribution was Krishna consciousness. First establish Krishna in the center. After establishing, says, now you establish, it's like a framework is done. Now, the other paraphernalia can be done in such a way that more number of people can naturally become Krishna conscious. The Vedic culture was such that anyone who came in contact cannot but become Krishna conscious. Because the whole society was Krishna centered. Varnashrama acharavata purushena par Vishnur aradhyate panta na anyat tattosha karanam. Because ultimately, dharma swanushtitah pumsam atah pumbhi dvijasreshta varnashrama vibhagashah swanushtitasya dharma sasamsiddhir haritoshanam. Haritoshanam, ultimately it is to please Krishna. If Krishna is not pleased, what's the use of culture? What is the use of education if there is no devotion? That was exactly the situation before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Everyone was cultured, highly cultured, Bhattacharyas and all, Chattopadhyay, Bandopadhyay, all high-level Brahmanas, highly refined society. Everyone was educated. Everyone was highly, everyone had their own schools. And it was a fashion to defeat others and put up their own certificates. So education was there, culture was there. Everyone would take bath 3 times a day, but there was no devotion. Advaitacharya cried that everything is there, it's like a big, beautiful package with no substance. That is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means packaging industry. So attractive package that it becomes attractive, but there is no substance inside. Sutra mevahi. A Brahmana will be known by how beautifully he is wearing the sutra or the 50 paisa thread. How eloquently he speaks. Beauty will be judged by externals. Everything is external, only packaging. But there is no substance. And the contribution of great acharyas is they first give us the substance. Packaging is a secondary part. But secondary is also essential. Our Purnachandra Prabhu explained very nicely. He explained, he gave an excellent example. He said, what is Varnashram? It's like a glass. A glass is supposed to contain the water. And water is the real substance. So Prabhupada gave us water, Krishna consciousness. And now he said, you get a glass. Because how long can you hold water? It will just slip off. You need to remain Krishna consciousness and to distribute in a larger society, we need a favorable container. And that is the culture, the Varnashram system. When that Varnashram system is followed, naturally it can contain the water or contain the essence. And it's easy also to distribute. So in this way, that's why he said, now boil the milk. Everything has been given, now boil it. Establish it and then distribute. So, with that container, if it is handed over, then everyone can take full advantage of that. So this is some thoughts that I spontaneously got last moment notice of to speak in the Bhagavatam. One more thing I had in mind is just not. Anyway, any questions or comments, observations? Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah,
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes as dangerous one who performs another's duty. Can you elaborate on that?
Somebody else's duty?
Yeah, he says it's dangerous to perform another's duty. Can you explain why Krishna says dangerous and how to elaborate on that?
Swadharmeni dhanam sheyaha paradharmo bhayavaha. Just like Krishna chastised Arjun, he said, if you are a Brahmana, okay, but you are a Kshatriya now, you can't run away. It'll be non-beneficial to you because you are acting against your Nigraha kim karishyati. Because, this is my feeling, that you can't suppress your nature for long until and unless there is purification from inside. If we act against our nature, we can't continue for long. Eventually it will come out. And when it comes out, it will cause chaotic situation in not only in our own lives, our own spiritual life, but it will cause chaos in society at large. If Arjuna were to become a sannyasi, he did become a sannyasi one time and carried away Subhadra. So, of course, that was a very special situation. So without purification, just like Prabhupada gave the example of the fox, which was very much attracted to the facility that the lion got. Everyone was respecting the lion. Everyone was bowing down before the obedient to the lion. So he wanted to become a lion. But there is a way to become a lion. Without qualification, he got a lion skin and put it on. He put it on and he was getting the respect. He was getting, everyone was following him and everything. But then, when the moon came on the horizon, on the day of Purnima, he just couldn't control his nature. He lifted his neck and he started howling. When all the other jackals came and started howling, he just couldn't control his nature. And his original nature came out and it was exposed. So, nigraha kim karishyati? If we suppress our nature, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Bhakti Aloka, he says, one can't give up nature till the point of suicide. You can't give it up till the point of death. But then immediately he says, but it can be changed by devotion under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. He gives the example of Mrigari. Mrigari was he was absolutely uncultured fellow. But by Narad Munis, Prabhupada writes this here, very beautiful. One statement I would like to read. Yeah. One minute. At a certain moment. Yeah. Because there is no institution to teach people how to become Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, these demons want a classless society. This is resulting in chaotic condition. In the name of secular government, unqualified people are. It talks about the importance of a guru. Anyways, so he says that has to be guided. That therefore we need a guru. A guru can, knowing, thoroughly knows, and he can guide us in such a way. Just like when Narad Muni saw this Valmiki also, when he was before also a hunter, he saw that this fellow can't even chant Ram's name. They told him to chant the other way around. And gradually got him to an exalted state where he could actually be transformed. So, Narad Muni also gave that example of milk and how the particular amayo, the same thing that caused the disease can also cause the solution of the disease. If you have taken a lot of milk and it has caused some problem, then the same milk with a particular combination turned into yogurt can cure the disease. And that is the expertise of a spiritual master. He knows exactly how best to engage every person in such a way that the same quality can used for purifying by dovetailing, as Prabhupada called it, by dovetailing it in such a way that simultaneously you get purified and simultaneously you are satisfied in performing the duties. So it is dangerous because artificially, without internal purification, artificially trying to do someone's duty, because every position has a right, just like responsibility and facility. A Brahmana has great facilities. In the Manu Samhita, anyone would want to become a Brahmana. So many facilities a Brahmana is given. Brahmana should be given charity. Brahmana should be given respect. Anyone who disrespects a Brahmana will go to hell and all that. But next, there is so many things to the Brahmanas. Anyone who would read will shiver with fear. I will never become a Brahmana. So many responsibilities. A Brahmana, even 1 paisa, he accepts for his own self, for his sense gratification, then he will get entangled. You go into Raurava. So if you take the both balance part. Now, people, if they want to change their dharma simply because of the facilities, but they don't want to take the responsibility part, they create chaotic situation, chaos. The whole society is, they're forced. They said, if you don't respect Brahmana, you'll go to hell. And a Brahmana is told, if you accept all that respect as yourself, to yourself, you'll go to hell. So, it's so nicely balanced. To whom much is given, much is expected. Yes, if you see the qualification of a Brahmana, Shamaha, Damaha, Tapaha, Shaucham, Kshantir, Arjavam, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Astikyam. There are 9 qualities and all the 9 are subtle mental, subtle qualities. But then if you see the Kshatriya, Shauryam, Tejo, Dhritihi, Daksham, Yuddhe, Chapi, Apalayanam. Some are mental and some are physical. Some are gross abilities. And if you see the Vaishyas, it is more gross. Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam. It's more of activity rather than quality. And for the Shudras, it is gross. Very gross activity. Gradually, of course. So all of it is there, from gross to more subtler. But the whole idea is, every situation has some facilities and responsibilities. So if one can properly situate, but if it is for, the whole thing was got contaminated, the whole Varnashram system got contaminated, because people wanted the facility without accepting the responsibility. There started the degradation of the society. So that can create a chaos. This is my Sodharme Nidhanam Shreya Parodharmo Bhayava. Arjun, you better die fighting on the battlefield rather than act as a Brahmana and go away. Because you are a Kshatriya. You won't tolerate. Burijan Prabhu writes in Surrender Unto Me. He said, if you become a beggar, you are telling Bhikshamapi Haloke, I would rather beg and live rather than fighting. But if you go for begging and someone insults you, you will take out your sword and cut his head off. Because you are a Kshatriya. You can't tolerate insults. And if you see some injustice, immediately your Kshatriya nature will come up. In fact, Srinathji, anyway, that's a separate part. I don't want to go into detail. He was telling about why Bharat Maharaj had one of the reasons, I don't know, he just said, I'm just quoting him. He said, Bharat was a king earlier. And suddenly, his nature was leadership, protection, and compassion. So when he saw a helpless citizen in the form of a deer, immediately that nature came up. And he wanted to protect and maintain, And there was, he lacked association, someone to tell you, Prabhu, this is Maya right now. Just give it up, okay. He gradually fell into it. Because of that nature, born of, he was a Kshatriya basically. I've not heard it from Prabhupada. This is one analysis. That it was compassion on a body, which is exactly the reason why Krishna also chastised Arjun. This compassion doesn't befit you, Arjun. It's on a bodily platform. In fact, by not acting, you will create a Varna Sankara. Because you will set a wrong example, people will follow you. And they will also, just because they'll say, Arjuna did it, therefore I will also do it. And run away from battlefield, not fight. And people will be unprotected. And unscrupulous people will exploit the situation. And Varna Sankaras will bomb. So by not by fighting, but by not fighting, you will be responsible for creating Varna Sankara. So this is some thought. If you would like to add my understanding, I don't know if it is. Mataji, if you would like. Yes, Maharaj. I'm speaking too much.
It says, Kalo Sudra Sambravan. Everyone is without qualities, only of qualities of a sudra. So training is there. So how? So everyone is coming in and getting training, but still that nature, that sudra nature is there. So ultimately, one's, you know, what we say external, what we say materialistic nature can be transformed by training, right? And education. But not artificially. That's your point. It cannot be done artificially, but it could be done through training. In the case of Dronacharya, Dronacharya was a Brahmana. But he was acting as a Kshatriya, same with Asvatthama. So they were able to do both because of the training. So how would you explain that?
How do we accommodate?
Huh?
How do we accommodate that?
Yeah.
You should say it, Maharaj.
I know. It's a question.
I don't want to speculate. Anything beyond, without immediate Shastric quotation, I feel will be my own interpretation. But also Krishna says, Chaturvanyam Maya Srishtam, and also in the 14th chapter it says that these three modes will always be there. Predominantly, it will be just like, and also it is said in Kali Yuga, the degradation, you know, from 100% to 75%, then to 50%, and 25%, and as time goes on, the degradation will be more. Dharma, Satyam, Shaucham, Kshama, Daya, everything will go down. And once, Solinus Radhana Swami Maharaj was telling, if the Shudra from Lord Ramchandra's time were to come into Kali Yuga, he would be seen as a Paramahamsa. That means even of that, a Shudra, it is said in Yudhishthir Maharaj's time, he went on a tour because Dronacharya said, if you find a better person than you or a lower person than you, bring him to me. And he walked, Yudhishthir Maharaj. And at the end, he came across a person who was fetching water. It was a day of Ekadashi, and he was fetching water. He said, oh, here is a person. He's drinking water on Ekadashi. This must be a, you know, low-class man. I'll take him. But this fellow took the water and fed the cows. So immediately, Yudhishthir Maharaj said, my God, look at me. I found a fault with this fellow. Therefore, my fault. And he was a Shudra actually, who was taking out water. So even a Shudra, every Ekadashi observed Nirjal. If this analysis is right. So from that point of view, they're so degraded. Even the most qualified Brahmana with purity, so subtle. It just goes so subtle. We may be grossly some speak of Brahminical quality, but if you see from a standard point of view, a fruit, if it is not washed and put into hand, Yaja and Upayaja, the story in Mahabharata of Yaja and Upayaja, when Dronacharya wanted to perform, Drupad wanted to perform a Yajna to get a son or someone to avenge Dronacharya, he was desperately looking for a Brahmana. And it is said, he went to one devotee, one Brahmana, Upayaja, and he said, I want you to perform, I'll give you 10,000 cows in charity or something like that. So he said, I'll never perform for these paltry things. I don't want anything. However, you can go to my brother. He's of this nature, he will do it for you. For some, you know, benefit, 10,000 cows. So why? He said, one day I saw him in the forest, he took a fruit and he ate it without knowing its source and without washing it. Or something to that effect. And therefore, I tell you, he is not a Brahmana. I mean, he's a little low class. He can go there. So, and I was reading Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's lecture. The qualifications of Brahmana, oof, unimaginable. It's like a pure devotee almost. External qualifications like that. So in that sense, Kalav Shudra Sambha. But even in that, Shudra, he mentions first class, 10th class Brahmana also.
different gradations of brahmanas. So there are different levels of shudras. A brahminical shudra, kshatriya type shudra. That's why I don't want to speculate, but this is my thoughts after I read.
So in Kali Yuga, we're more like sutra type brahmanas.
Yeah. Because the whole situation is such, even if you want to, we can't get anything pure. Or you have to go away and put yourself in a completely, you know, separated, secluded place and create purified. Otherwise, everything comes. There is no substance. We don't even know what is added by bone kind of things, and silver paper is beaten up in cow's thing. So many in the, you know, if you see the ICC, I mean, conferences, they're talking about every substance that we use is contaminated. So even if you want to be pure, nothing is pure. Okay, Mara. So we'll stop here late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj.